Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting more of a company introduction to Orion Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol AU and on the OTCQX under the symbol AIRRF. Shad and I are chatting with the non-executive chairman, Dave Lowten. Now, Dave, since this is your first time on the show, and I know Orion Resources is known to a lot of the longtime investors in the space, but having you on the show and having you introduce almost a renewed focus for the company here over the last couple years, I think that's important to start off. Can you give us just a little background on Orion Resources, when you came into the company, and the focus now being really strictly in Finland on a couple projects that the company holds?
Sure. Thanks, Corey. So I joined Orion in 2017. I joined the board in April of that year and became chairman in May. The company was founded by my good friend, Mike Basha, who I had worked with on and off over the years assessing junior resource investment opportunities. Mike is a brilliant guy. One of the best prospecting geologists I've ever met in my career, and a great analyst in the space, someone who can look at their drill results in a junior company and very quickly let you know whether or not it's prospective or not. And so Mike had his start in the business at Noranda. Then he went into the junior space with Cornerstone. Notably, he got them into Ecuador and is at least an ancestor for some of the success that they had there. Decided to start his own company in 2008, which I guess was potentially a portent of things to come, and selected the prospect generator model, went into Mexico to start with, eventually ran into security problems there, which were just too expensive for a junior to move forward on. He started looking at Finland. At the time, I was the biggest shareholder of the company. I was really against it. I have pre-built prejudices against companies looking for minerals where people like to go on vacation. So I always like to tell people that I was against Finland. Mike proved me wrong on many levels. I made this fantastic surface discovery. And I, at that point in time, agreed with him that it was time for the company to pivot from the prospect generation model and to go after this discovery using its own capital. So I joined the board and have assisted the company in raising money and in thinking strategically about how to move this opportunity forward.
Yeah, Dave, and another thing to mention is just how you've helped foster some of the strategic partners that have come into Orion. So maybe just walk us through how Kinross came in and Sprott and Newmont, Sure. Involved, just some of the strategic stakeholders.
Sure. Well, going all the way back to 2016, just slightly larger than me was a company called Dragon Mining. We had bought our original prospect from Dragon in 2014, I think, and they were due to receive some shares, which would put them close to 14%. And although the company had just come off the mat after that awful market between 2011 and 2015, was trading about 18 cents, they decided they needed to sell their stock. So I bought them out personally. It was just around 6.5 million shares, we'll say. And I didn't hold on to that stock. I took that, it was about 10 cents a share, I think, maybe 9 cents. I took that stock and flipped it to a good network of resource-focused investors in Canada, including a couple of big mutual funds, in order to get the company basically a new set of seed shareholders without diluting any further. And that was important in the 40-cent financing we did in 2016, which was done without a warrant. Really difficult at the time. The company then had its exploration success, and when we press released just the Boulder discovery, the stock took off. It was unconstrained by any warrant load. I had a very good register of shareholders who understand exploration and understand what it means to find something new in a new place like this. And at that point in time, I think we did $1.50 financing with Ross Beatty and Eric Sprott. Kevin McLean, who I think was the best gold mutual fund manager in Canada, was the lead on that deal. Some very big money out of Vancouver came in, and it was basically to four or five guys, a nice tight financing. Again, no warrant on the financing, and left a lot of torque in the story for secondary market traders, which is something we feel pretty convicted about. We did have some interest from a large gold company at that point in time. It was Goldcorp, which I couldn't say then, but could say now because Newmont PR'd their interest in Orion after they took Goldcorp over. And I asked the company not to take that interest, but rather to let us use that interest to organize a polite competition. And so we had four majors out to site that year, including Goldcorp. And we focused almost exclusively on the investor rights agreement. We didn't talk about price. All we talked about was ensuring that the strategic didn't get something that other shareholders didn't have already. And so examples of that would be, I think if you look at some of the Goldcorp strategics, for instance, into Colorado Resources, or that's called Questex now, and that's a good example. You'll often see a step up. They put 9.9 in, and then if the company has a subsequent financing, you know, Goldcorp would have the right to go to 15 or even 19%. They'd get a board seat. They'd get a technical committee. Often they get a prohibition against the company borrowing money or selling a royalty, which would be stupid, but we didn't need Ian Telfer to tell us that. And so those were the kinds of things I felt very strongly we needed to keep out of any strategic investment. Kinross did come in with no conditions other than to stay pro rata and at 9.9%, which I think is the best percentage. To have a strategic at, it doesn't really represent much of an impediment if you make a big discovery to having a subsequent auction. And of course, I've been involved in all the other financings, but those early financings at relatively high prices allowed the company to move forward without a lot of relative dilution. And that's really super important in these stories. You don't want to be issuing stock at pennies to move a discovery like this forward if you can avoid it. And you don't want to be giving warrants away if you can avoid it. And you don't want to be giving rights away that are prejudicial to the interests of passive shareholders. So those things of that nature would be things I've assisted the company with and thought a lot about over time and tried to make sure we're optimized in the finance process.
Well, thanks for bringing us up to speed on that, Dave. And then just move into the discovery then. So obviously, Finland has been on the map for a lot of people recently, not just with the work Orion's done, but there's some other companies like Rupert that have done quite well on discovering gold and many minerals up in the Finland area. And you're on that same trend with the Kari that Rupert has with your Amarusko project. So just give us a quick high-level overview of the Amarusko project and where you're at with the resource at this point in time.
Sure. So the discovery in Finland that I think got everyone's attention is Kittila, or Sirikusiko as it was called at the time. It's actually made by a road construction crew and advanced to some extent by government-related Finnish mining companies. Then vended out to a Swedish junior called Riddarhyttan, which eventually sold it for, let's say, the 280 million Canadian to Agnico. And I think people began to pay attention when Agnico took Riddarhyttan over. That was on a north-south structure that's about 30 kilometers away from us. What Mike noticed during the depths of the bear market was that there was an east-west structure called the Circa Shear Zone that had about 40 gold showings on it, all discovered by the Geological Survey or by Outokumpu, the Finnish mining company. Of course, mining having been in the hands of the state till 1995 in Finland and base metals being the focus, none of the gold showings were ever really followed up to any extent. And the Circa line was waiting there to be staked, quite frankly. Some of it we bought from Dragon Mining, who is exiting the exploration business, but most of it was staked. And so we probably made the first discovery of note on the Circa Shear Zone coming out of the bear market. And it was, I think, 500 large quartz boulders over a kilometer by 750 meters that averaged 21 grams at the time. These have to be seen. I mean, you can read some of the analyst reports from guys like Tyron Breitenbach at Cormark or Mick Carew when he was at Haywood, who've all been there and seen these giant fragments of quartz lying on surface. But it gave you an immediate sense of scale. There were boulders the size of small convertibles or grand pianos that had high-grade gold on them. If you chipped them, you got extremely high grades. Even when you channel sampled them, you got intervals over a couple meters of 20 to 40 grams. And, of course, we had four majors at the site that summer and really just ratified the nature of this of the discovery in the mind of the market. It's rare to get a strategic investment from major gold companies when you haven't even put a drill hole in a prospect. So the surface discovery has blossomed over time, and we had some phenomenal drill campaigns. The first drill campaign actually was a complete bust, took the stock from a peak of $3 down to 70 cents. But in the subsequent summer, we hit 3 meters of 800 grams, and the stock sort of resumed its $1.50 to $2 level. It was an awful market during that period, and the stock drifted off. We did a little $1.05 financing. And then the next season, to start the season, we hit 28 meters of 9.5 grams, virtually from surface. That's when Eric Sprott came into the story in a little more size. He put $5 million in at $1.50, again, without a warrant. And Ross Beaty reinvested at that point in time as well. After that campaign, the company ran into a really, really long run of cold cards, and started with our CEO losing his son in a tragic accident. Mike has now taken a break from the company. Shortly after that, COVID became the major concern globally. So we took most of the crew out of Finland last year, and we suspended, let's say, 80% of the program and just ran a small rig doing regional work. And Mother Nature wasn't super cooperative last year. So the company, I think, has all but lost its premium. Now we're back exploring on a full-time level. And in the interim, Rupert's made a big discovery within 100 meters, we'll say, of our border in some places. And Finland has become really interesting to the producer community. So I look forward to better ahead. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Rupert discovery. There are a bunch of great guys. I've known James for years since he was a fund manager. And of course, Harry Dobson is the founding father of the company, so to speak. And Harry has had incredible success over the years. He was the original founder or refounder of Kirkland Lake when Macassa was bought from Kinross for, I think, $5 million. And a lot of people don't remember they took that from a 50-cent stock to $10 prior to the great bear market of 2011 and 2015. Eric came in for Macassa and was influential in the company, taking over Fosterville, or what used to be Crocodile Gold. I think it was Newmarket by then. But Harry played a real big part in the initial and early success of Kirkland Lake. And so Harry coming into Finland, I think, was something that a lot of veteran investors in Canada were really interested in. And it did take quite a lot of time, but the discovery that they made within 10 drill holes looked like a couple million ounces, hole after hole of 150 meters of 4 grams. And I think after our discovery, which is more concentrated in narrower quartz veins, I think that's sort of confirmed for everyone that the camp is a camp. That it is, that all the prospectivity you saw in the thousands of quartz boulders we found on surface and in our high-grade drilling results is now, was the precursor to the opening up of a new camp. And flat out, Rupert's discovery is better than what we've discovered so far. It bulks up very quickly. It's incredibly impressive. But it's a justification for why we've continued to look outside of Amarusco, not wanting to get stuck on what might not be the best discovery.
Hey, Finland really has come onto the radar for a lot of investors, and there's been a number of investors that have made some good money on companies exploring in Finland. Dave, give us just a little bit more of an understanding then in terms of what's coming up. What is going to drive this stock? What work is going to be done here, let's say, through the rest of this year and into 2022?
Yeah, you bet. So, catalysts for the upcoming year. We're continuing to develop our satellite property, Launay, which is another several thousand samples averaging a couple of grams lying on surface. It's on the Circus Shear Zone, contiguous in places with Amarusco, and we think has a lot of potential to generate a second discovery. So far at Amarusco, we've found two, I think, distinct high-grade pipes would be the best way to describe them. They look very much like some of the high-grade zones you see in discovery at West Dome or Richmont or at Fosterville even, but it is not clear how they will bulk up. And we're moving Amarusco forward carefully this year In the past, it's required helicopter supported drilling. And I think that that's a great way for a junior to go broke and to lose the race between the stock register and the discovery. So it looks like we found some solutions that will allow us to attack some of the more juicy targets at Amarusco, which can yield these high grades like we have in the past and like Newfoundland has made such hay on recently. It looks like we can get to those spots now, but we'll know shortly. And of course, we have many other targets on the property at Karaselka, at Why Not, at Notches, where we have, I think, 3,000 samples averaging 2 or 3 grams on surface. And so with the developments at Rupert, I think that we're going to move a little further afield from some of these outcropping rocks and try to look at the covered rocks immediately adjacent to them, where we have good geophysics and where we have some other interesting basotil results. And then, of course, in our joint venture with B2 Gold, we share a border with that Rupert discovery at Ickery. B2 didn't get the permits until just recently, so they're going to do some geophysics and some basotils there. And in the meantime, they're going to start drilling in August on some virgin ground that is on that trend, but a few kilometers away. So I would expect drilling from B2 to drive the stock this year. I'd expect drilling by the company at Amarusco to drive the stock this year. I'd expect drilling at Launay, drilling at Notches, and some of our other satellite targets to potentially generate new discoveries and some real excitement in the stock this year.
All right, just before we wrap it up here, Dave, just a quick question then regarding cash in the bank. Where does the company stand to move forward with all the exploration that's planned?
I think our total working capital at March 31st, which I guess we've already reported, was about $15 million. And I'm not sure if our burn is $1 million a month. That's typically been our burn during periods of high exploration. It's been around $1 million a month. So I'll let you guys do the math from there.
Okay. Dave, we'll wrap it up here. If anybody has any follow-up questions regarding any of the work going on at Orion Resources, or if you want any more just insights into any of the company's projects in Finland, please send us an email, either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. Dave, we'll follow up with you as some more news hits the market. We're also going to have you back on the show just to chat about the general resource market, but that'll come in another couple weeks. In the meantime, Dave, I hope you have a great rest of your week, and thanks again for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me on today, guys. Really appreciate it.